Now let's turn, please, to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And in this 9th chapter, we have the word thanksgiving. You run into the word thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. And in verse 11 we read, being enriched in everything unto all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Isn't it marvelous you find a text that fits us? That text fits us perfectly. That's a perfect fit. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, you people have come today and we've given as we've never given before. And what does it do? Causes through us thanksgiving to God. And if you're not thankful to God tonight, my friend, there's something wrong with you. There's something seriously wrong with you. If you're sitting back and saying, well, they did it because of this, and they did it because of that. You sit back and you begin to minimize it and discount it and discredit it. And you say, well, this and that. And I don't believe there should be a room in this church for a single whiner tonight. Anybody wants to whine, he doesn't belong to this church. Not tonight. Because we're not that kind of people tonight. We're thankful. Look what this passage says. This passage says, being enriched. And you know, when I was expounding this passage to you a little earlier, you turn back, you know, in this 8th chapter, which is all bound together, he says there in verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace, the grace of giving, the grace of offering these things to God. See that you abound in it. And then when we come over here to the 9th chapter and we get to this 10th verse, or rather this 11th verse, we are enriched in everything unto all bountifulness. Do you know, you start out in the 8th chapter and you're looking at Macedonia, and when you get down to the last of the 9th chapter, Macedonia is in you. And you're enriched, you're filled with these graces, and here it now begins to manifest itself in a glorious thanksgiving. Well, you notice verse 8, God is able. Now that's exactly what he is, and that's what he did today. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. I started to preach on the word abound, 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 abound. It's all through this passage. Abound, abound, abound. But I thought maybe I'd better preach on the word thankfulness and thanksgiving, because that's the emphasis, I believe, that comes as a result of our abounding. But God is able. And as I stand in this sacred pulpit tonight behind this sacred book, and I preach this gospel of salvation to you, I want to say that God is close to us tonight. Only the Spirit of Almighty God could put this church on its knees as it was this afternoon, in home after home, in all this area. And then as one people with our faith in Christ, born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, rejoicing in the gift of everlasting life, we could rise up and bring in our gifts into the storehouse and say to Almighty God, we are doing this because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's get back to this word thanksgiving. Did you know that you can make people thank God because of what you do? You have it in your power to make people thank God because of what you do. And the apostle is saying here that because of what they are doing in this whole matter of giving, people are thanking God. We're thanking him tonight, but they're going to thank him all over this country. I'm so thankful for this, beloved, I just can't tell you. After the service tonight, we were talking, somebody came up to me and they said, oh, Dr. McIntyre, all over the country, they talk about our church and they talk about you and they say, you're always full of hate. You're always preaching hate, you know, that's what they say. Well, this isn't hate. This is something that you can't digest. You can't accept this. What is it? Did we put our offerings in here today because we were full of hate for somebody? Well, who would even think of such an idea? Do you mean to say that you're so full of hate that you oversubscribed your budgets? Is that the way we operate? Is that the spirit in which we operate? No, it takes more than hate to produce money. It takes more than hate to move a church. It takes more than hate. No, beloved, this is the building of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the building of the house of God. And it is a constructive ministry which abounds in the spirit of power. That's what it is. And so we are thankful indeed for it. Now if you look down just a little further to verse 12, we read, "For the ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints," what we have done today not only supplies our entire missionary enterprise with gifts from Africa to Korea and from Brazil to Formosa, it not only supplies these needs, and these groups around the world are going to be so thankful and so happy that the Collingswood Church is developing and growing and they're giving more. They're going to be so happy in that it does supply these needs. But the apostle goes on and he says, "They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ." It was the gospel of Christ that produced you. It was the gospel of Christ that made you a member of this church. It was the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that enabled you to give. And beloved, don't you be afraid of the gospel of Christ and what it can do for you. The gospel of Christ will treat you good. And don't you be afraid of the word of God. Isn't it interesting every once in a while somebody comes along and says, "Well, it's February and the preacher's going to talk on stewardship. I'm going to take a rain check. I'm just not going to come around. I'm not going to let him work on me. I've done all I'm going to do, and that's all I'm just not going to let him do it. I ought to wait and get you here sometime when you don't expect this kind of sermon and get one on surprise on some of these people. Get one on sort of surprise. That, beloved, the Word of God will never hurt you. The Word of God will only help you. The Word of God has been given by God to take out of you and make out of you a trophy of God's grace and power. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Don't hold back on the Lord. Go where the Lord takes you. Do what the Lord wants you to do. And don't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting that people want a little of the Scripture but not too much of it? I just want enough to sort of say I'm in, but not enough to be anything more than just miserable. No, beloved, take the whole truth of God, every bit of it, and let God take that word and work in your heart, and God will make a trophy of grace out of you. And you will find a peace and a joy and a victory in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes straight from heaven. I feel very close to heaven tonight. I don't know where you feel, but I feel the windows of heaven open up this afternoon. I feel it. And just poured out this blessing on this church and moved in the hearts of people. And isn't it interesting how people can, they can complain and they can carry on all sorts of stories and tales, and then all of a sudden it just vanishes. It's an amazing thing. When I stop and realize what has happened in all the years that I've been the pastor of this church. Charlie just figured out this morning we started our radio 11 years ago. But I was here 22 years before we even got started with radio. And when I think about all the things that have happened, when I think about all the crises, and I think we specialize in trouble. Didn't we hear that today? We specialize in these problems. Of course, we don't start them. Somebody else starts them. I had nothing to do with the state of Pennsylvania. But now I'm specializing in the state of Pennsylvania. I had nothing to do with the state of Pennsylvania. The amazing thing that these troubles come on us. We don't bring them upon ourselves. And,
And here, Faith Seminary gets a radio station over here. It begins to have a hearing and people listen to us. There's no radio station in this area that's had as much publicity as WXUR. Everybody knows about it. But that's the trouble. Everybody does know about it. And so there are those who want to stop it. They want to take away this particular ministry. And I've had nothing whatsoever to do. I haven't attacked the Roman Catholics. I've discussed the Vatican Council, but I haven't carried on a ministry of attacking the Roman Catholics. They've got just as much right in our country as you and I have to worship and be free people. But no, they want our radio station to have its license revoked. I've never gone down to Washington to ask Washington to revoke anybody or anything. Never. In fact, I want to stay out of that place. That's the truth. But they go down to Washington with their complaints, and now they go and they want our radio station that's owned by Faith Theological Seminary. The seminary owns the stock. They want the thing, the license revoked. Well, we specialize in troubles. And now we have a great conference down at Cape May, and we have a great college down there. We didn't have anything to do with the State Board of Education jumping on Shelton College. In fact, we wish they'd left it alone. But they didn't. We specialize in these things. But what I want you people to understand is that when these things come to us, and when these things are directed to us, they are coming to us because our light and our standard and our truth is becoming effective, and those about us are seeking to hinder it and to stop it. And the apostle is saying, the things that have happened unto me have happened out for the furtherance of the gospel. And I'd just give anything. I don't know whether it's possible or not, but wouldn't it be wonderful if tomorrow morning I could get every member of the legislature of the state of Pennsylvania to listen to my broadcast and hear what God's done down here in Collingswood, New Jersey? I wonder what those politicians would say then. Oh, beloved, I am so sick of politicians. I am just so sick of these politicians. I want some politicians who've got some character. I want some politicians that have got some integrity about them. And they'll say, we'll do this for you, we'll do this for you. And you think, well, that's fine. Then when you get there, they don't do it. And they say they'll do this for you. And then they say, no, I decided I wouldn't do it because I'll need a favor someday. I never saw the like. Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats, so don't mind. We must have men in places of leadership in this country who have some faith in God and have some integrity when it comes to loyalty to these great principles of liberty which enable us to preach the gospel. And this has now come upon us. And it has come upon us in an hour and in a moment when you and I are able now to let everybody see, well, here is a company of people who are standing together, and thank God you did stand today. And I thank God that He enabled you to stand. And I thank God that we manifested His goodness and His power in our midst. And our budget moved up and up and up higher than it's ever been before. And now we're going to use every single penny of that which He puts in our hands in this place to honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Notice this passage. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Isn't that magnificent? That's in the Bible. This is something I've never opened up to you before. They just glorify God. Beloved, the greatest thing that you can be connected with here on this earth is a Bible-believing church which is building its ministry upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And God has given us a church where the Word is having some power and some effectiveness. And you people who are here tonight, you gave tonight, but I want to tell you, take these teachings, take these principles, and give. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he that soweth liberally shall reap liberally. And beloved, God has been good to us. God has been good to your pastor. Just the fact that he's been able to stand with you all these years. Have I ever missed a single Sunday preaching in this pulpit because I was ill? No. Just think of it. 33 years I've been able to carry on. I had a hoarse voice the other morning, but I kept going. But just think how good God is to you. And then you look at your families, and you look at what he's doing to you in your homes and your family. Ladies and gentlemen, you people tonight don't understand that these are things you cannot buy. These are things that the medical world can't bestow upon you. These are things that no man on this earth has the wisdom to give to you. Something wrong with my Bible tonight. The one on top is slippery and it slips off. And I have to hold on to my Bible while I preach. Maybe that's a good thing. But it keeps sliding down here and I have to catch this thing. And maybe I'm going to have to get some wax or something. I use the small Bible and it's a little bit too slanted to me tonight. And usually, I don't know whether the money made it slippery or what. It usually doesn't. Whether the canvas made it slippery or not. Did somebody wax this thing? Let me turn over a couple of other pages. But you see me grabbing this Bible, and I'm sorry I have to do that because that's just the way it is. Now look at verse 13. For your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. We are a people who believe in giving more to others than we give to ourselves. That's in that text. Isn't that marvelous? Did you ever see that before? For your liberal distribution unto them and to others, and out of this church through the years, have risen up these young people who have been trained. They've gone out to be preachers of the gospel. They've gone out to be missionaries of the cross. And we need another whole company of young people coming out of the younger generation who will say, I'm going to go out and preach the gospel. And you and I, as members of this church, should encourage them and help them. And then when they get ready to go, raise the money and help send them out. Who's going to send out missionaries if the church doesn't? You think the nightclub over here at Cherry Hill is going to send out missionaries for us? You think the police department down here in Collingswood is going to send out missionaries for us? You think the restaurant over on the street that seems to be taking in all kinds of money is going to send out missionaries for us? You think the high school over here is going to send out missionaries for us? Who's going to send out missionaries? You, me, we won't get them any other place. We won't get them any other way. And you should be interested in a liberal distribution of what God's given to us in order that the word may spread throughout the world. My, oh my, if we get the Christians through this area revived and strengthened, and we'd make the Church of Jesus Christ our first object of responsibility and make the gospel of Jesus Christ our number one calling. If we would get into the cause of Christ and evangelize and witness, and if every member of this church would solemnly vow before God, I'm going to win some soul to Christ and bring them into the Church of Christ and let them turn away from the things that are of the world and the flesh and the devil and come and serve the Son of God. Some would even happen in Collingswood. Something would even take place around here. And you people in this church could be used of God to do it. You know, I said this morning in my sermon, I wished I could see some of you people changed. And I wanted some of you people to say, I'll just take envelopes, please. Just give me envelopes, please. So many people say that. You go, just give me envelopes, please. Well, they're givers, but they won't tell the Lord what they're going to give him. And so I said to you, speak to people and get people who give to this church and say, Lord, I'll put it down and take some envelopes and lay it aside on the first day of the week. And you know what happened? I asked the people to hold up their hands in there. How many of you found people who said, instead of just envelopes, I'll give a pledge? Well, quite a few of them held up their hands. I made an issue of it. I made a point of it. I brought this issue home to you people and some of you responded as a result of the pastor's appeal. If you people don't want to be affected by the preaching of the gospel, don't come in here. But if you want to get a blessing from the Word of God, you come into this place every time the doors are open, and you'll take one out with you. And you'll get a blessing in this place from the preaching of the gospel that you cannot get anywhere else. My, this makes you love the church, doesn't it? Makes you love the church. Love the house of God. Love the things of God. Now notice the apostle goes on and he says two other things for you. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Now, isn't that interesting? After you've given them the gifts, after you've done all this thing, after your bounty has been manifest, they blame it on the grace of God and they don't thank you. Isn't that interesting? Is there any place in this passage that I'm expounding to you where you get the credit for the giving? Show me if you will. No, they blame the grace of God, not you. And they're right. They see that the exceeding grace, the power of God's grace, laid hold upon you. Beloved, I want to tell you, it takes the grace of God to make people in our days. Every time you turn around, things are getting higher. You never saw the like. And every time you turn around, taxes are getting more. I heard a man on the radio the other night tell us that in the last 30 years, we now have a public debt of about pretty close to $400 billion. And I think he said in 1930 or 1931, we had a debt of about $22 million. That's all we had. We have added over $375, maybe $390 billion to the debt of our country since I've been preaching to you people. Can you imagine that? And I listen to this man. I'm going to get his figures. I'm going to use them. I never saw anything like it. We've just gone wild. We've gone riot. Who in the world's ever going to pay up for all this debt? $400 billion in 30 years. And who in the world is ever going to take care of it? And you look at it and the obligation. How can you ever expect to take time out to give God anything? And yet we preach the gospel and our giving to God is above every other burden, every other responsibility. God is supreme. God is faithful. And it's His grace which comes into your life. And my friend, as you've been here today and seen the workings of the Spirit of God because He's been here, you go from this place tonight and you see God in everything that happens. Trust Him. And the Lord does this for Him. The Lord gave me this. And the Lord guides me here. And the Lord takes care of me. And the Lord gave me this job. And the Lord did this for me. And you see the Lord's working, the Lord's hand, the Lord's goodness, the Lord's power, because He's able to make all grace abound toward you in all things, that you may in all things have sufficiency. You people have heard me preach lately, and I've been telling you, if we're going to be Christians, let's be it. Let's be what we're supposed to be. We're peculiar. Let's just be as peculiar as we can be. Nothing wrong with being peculiar. That's what they say you are anyhow. Yeah. We're a chosen generation. They come around and say, isn't this terrible? These Christians think they're better than other people. No, we're just sinners. We've been converted. But we do think that the rest of the people, if they don't get converted, are going to perish. And of course, that's not equality anymore. A Christian has some sort of a complex about himself that he's better than everybody else. And that's the way they talk at you. And that's the way they deal with you. And so if we're going to have equality, you've got to abandon Christ. If you're going to have what they talk about, you're going to have to get rid of everything like this. No, beloved, we have the message of everlasting life. And nobody else has it except those who preach the Word of God. It's the only place you find it. It's the only place you can get it. It's the only place we have it. And everybody else who turns away from this message will die in their sins and they will perish and they will fall under the judgments and condemnation of God. Let's be Christians. Let's be anything that a Christian needs to be. And let's not be ashamed of it. And let them say what they want to about us. Oh, beloved, what the Lord can do for a church and for a people. And how he can build a ministry on the Holy Scriptures. I stand here tonight and see what's happened today. And I say, Lord, thy word is true. Let me preach it even more plainly. This is what you people need. This is what your hearts need. This is what your minds need. This is what you need to trust God and then watch him take care of you and guide you and comfort you and give you wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the one thing your pastor is praying for day after day, the one thing I find myself praying for all the time is, Lord, give me wisdom. Show me what to do. Give me wisdom. That's what I want. And the second one is give me strength. You must have wisdom. You're going to serve the Lord and he'll guide you. And then he'll give you your strength and he'll help you. And that comes from God. God. My God is able. And he manifested his power in this great church here today. In this great canvas. God has met with us. God has been with us. Oh, I could go ahead and develop some of these other thoughts. It's amazing. You'd think after preaching all these years, I'd run out. But you don't. You put some money in the pledge plate today. You made a pledge, all of you. I'd like to challenge you. Of course, I'm not going to do that. What you gave to the Lord today, here it is. Take a similar amount and put it over here. And then you decide to do with that the very best thing that you know how. Accept the work of the Lord. And see how you come out. You can't take a similar amount that you give to the Lord and use it in your own power and your own way to do what God will do with what you gave him. Can't do it. It's impossible. And if that's the case, I'm in favor of putting everything I can over on his side. And the more I can put on his side. Beloved, let me tell you something. You can take your money, and you can go home, and you can fix up your living room. Get some nice new chairs. Sit down in a nice chair for a while. Have a place to put up your feet if you want to. Just think how you can fix that with a little money. And when you get through fixing all that thing up, making yourself comfortable, making it easy for yourself, what have you done? Has that new chair saved anybody's soul? No. Did that new chair give everlasting life to anybody? No. Did that footstool on which you're going to rest your sore heels from now on, did that do anything about forgiving anybody's sins? No. But the money you gave to the Lord, what happened to it? It went to India. It went to Africa. It went to Brazil. It went to this pulpit. And what happened? Out of that money came the gospel, the message of life, the conflicts. And we specialize in troubles. My, oh my, isn't it marvelous to specialize in troubles? Because out of these things, the Lord brings the gospel and the opportunities to witness. And when you can take your money and invest it in this, my, it's the greatest investment you can possibly put in. I spoke the other day, one Sunday morning, about the women. And I learned that's a very, very dangerous subject. It's a very dangerous subject for a preacher. And consequently, I usually don't engage in questions of this sort because you can get into trouble. And as usual, I heard about it after the sermon was over. But you know, I think the women have got a lot of sense. They can make a dollar go further than you men can. Did you ever see how they handle them? They have a little allowance or they make so much. And I think the women are more careful with money than men are, generally speaking. Now, don't quote me on that subject. Please don't you ladies go home and use me as an authority against your husband when you have an argument, please. That's the danger, you see. But you know, you ought to see how some of these women shop. It takes them a long time to buy little things. They go and look at this, and they go look somewhere else, and they compare it. They go somewhere else, and they compare it. And they come back and compare it, compare it, compare it, compare it, compare it. Still are not satisfied. They still think somebody else in some other store may have something better, and so they go look there. And it's the greatest thing to see these women visiting every store in the country before they decide to buy something. And then when they get through, they spend their money in the best possible way so they can get the best profit. And I want to tell you, you just watch them advertise these sales around this part of the country. And then go see the women. They're all there. They're there. But what are they doing? They're so careful, so particular, so precise. Beloved, I challenge you tonight. I challenge you tonight to take what you gave to Jesus Christ today and put it over here. And then visit every store in the kingdom. Visit every shop that exists. Go to every market that you can find on the face of the earth. And you can't find anything that equals what you did today. It's impossible. Look what the passage is saying. They glorify God because of your subjection to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they come on down and the apostle says that they glorify God because of your liberal distribution unto all men. They're praying for you and they see the exceeding grace of God in you. And then verse 15 stops with these words. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Everything in chapter 8 and chapter 9 has been about your gift, your giving, your bounty, your exceeding what you did last year. Everything in chapter 8 and 9, so sparingly, reap sparingly, so bountifully, reap bountifully. Everything in chapter 8 and 9 is about you. You responding, you being ready, you being forward what you were a year ago. Everything is that God's grace is able to make abound in you. And then when you get to the end of the chapter, what do you find? Just one sentence. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And who is it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Imagine chapter 8, chapter 9. Oh, it did refer to Christ because he was rich and he became poor and you became rich. Christ is in there. But when you get down to the very end of all he's had to say about giving, he says your giving and all you did in your giving is because you belong to Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. That's the way I feel right now. That's exactly the way I feel right now. Come down at the end of chapters 8, chapters 9. Come down to the end of the Every Member Canvas. Come down to a great oversubscription of over $10,000. Come down to a moment when God moved in the life of our church as he's never moved before. And what have I been doing? Preaching Colossians. Preaching Christ. Showing you that it's Jesus Christ in you who's the hope of glory. Telling you that you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Oh, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. When he shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. This is the foolishness of preaching. But it will save those who believe. And they will become the children of God. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank thee for the Bible. And we thank thee that we feel it tonight as a great living power. And we thank thee that something has happened in the life of this church. And we thank thee that it's for good. And oh Father, bless this church now. Use it. Take care of it. For Christ's sake. Amen. All right, let's everybody turn to this great gospel hymn and we'll all stand and sing it. Then I'm going to give an invitation. 308. There is sunshine in my soul today. More.